I'd like to read in the Gospel according to Luke, and chapter 12, Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse 16. Luke 12, verse 16, in my Bible, that's page 1243. And he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The land of a certain rich man brought forth abundantly. And he reasoned within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? For I have not a place where I shall lay up my fruits.' And he said, 'This will I do. I will take away my granaries and build greater. And there I will lay up all my produce and my good things. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much good things laid by for many years. Repose thyself, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And whose shall be what thou hast prepared? Thus is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" And now in chapter 2 of the same gospel, chapter 2 and verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and pious, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was divinely communicated to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he should see the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and as the parents brought in the child Jesus that they might do for him according to the custom of the law, he received him into his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now thou lettest thy bondman go according to thy word in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation.'" And in the Epistle to the Hebrews, and chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9, that's page 1456 in my Bible, and I should like to read from the middle of verse 26. "But now, once, in the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested for the putting away of sin by his sacrifice. And for as much as it is the portion of men once to die, and after this judgment. Thus the Christ also, having been once offered to bear the sins of many, shall appear to those that look for him the second time, without sin, for salvation." Just one more verse in the Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, page 1425. I'm going to read verse 4. "When the Christ is manifested, who is our life, then shall ye also be manifested with him in glory." The other day I was following a van, and on the back of the van there were four words written: "One life, live it." I would like to have stopped the driver and asked him what he meant. Wonder what life he was talking about. Was it life doing what pleased him in this world? Because I'm sure that's what most of us naturally would want. We want to make the most of our life here. People have ambitions as to what they want to do. They go to school to learn so as to get a good job, as they think. And they hope that life will go according to how they want it. And maybe some or all of us might have had thoughts like that as to what we're going to do with our life. Because, as was very true from that sign, we have one life. We can't have another one. And each of us here at present is evidently in life. You have the life, naturally, which was meant by that sign on the vehicle, one life. Well, I read in those two passages in Luke's Gospel, we have two very different lives. Two men with very different lives. One was a rich man, and I'm sure he'd had many plans. We know from the scripture here that he was rich, he was already rich. And then he'd had a very good harvest, and he was richer still. And he thought that as a result of those riches, he could just now retire. Might have retired early. He wanted to live from his riches and just enjoy life. That's the one life, maybe, which he was thinking of. That he had all this stuff, and it was laid by, as it says in verse 19, laid by for many years. I wonder how many of you here think in the terms of many years. When we're younger, particularly, I suppose, we think of many years. And yet there are those who are suddenly cut off when they're children. Those involved in accidents. Remember someone who was just a teenager in the meeting where I was brought up, and he just died in a car accident. All those many years, as maybe he would have thought, well, they came to an end. And what was the life that he was planning? It was one life, and that had come to an end. I wonder if there's anyone here in this room who was still thinking about what they're going to do with their life. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's good that we should have some sort of objective in our lives, otherwise we'll sit and do nothing. But this man was thinking only of himself. Now, he was thinking of what he was going to enjoy. So he had a good pension, as you might call it. And yes, he was going to live off that, and he was going to live very nicely, thank you very much. He was going to eat and drink and be merry. Not just eat and drink, but he was going to make the most of it for many years. But then there's this word from God. But God said to him. Interesting, several times in Scripture you get those two words, but God. But God. You might have your own thoughts as to what you're going to do in your life, but God. What has he got in mind? He is the one by whom our life is held. But God, what is he saying to you tonight? You know, you think of the mercy of God, and he did speak to this man. He gave him an opportunity to assess what his life really was. Maybe God is giving you an opportunity tonight in the gospel just to assess what your life is. Are you rich towards God, as we get in this scripture, or are you rich only towards yourself? Because those riches which you want to enjoy for yourself, they're going to come to an end. They'll come to an end when you die. Nothing of that can be taken with you. It's been said, isn't it, there are no pockets in shrouds. No, you can't take it. But what would happen to you? Do you have a hope beyond this life? I do. I have a hope in Jesus. I have a hope in God's word, the one who spoke to this man and said, "Fool, I've heard the word of God towards me in blessing." He might have had to call me a fool just to bring me up short. Because God can use any means to speak to persons. Not necessarily by a lateral word. He can use circumstances. You think of what we read of when Paul and Silas were imprisoned in Philippi. There was a great earthquake. That was God's way of speaking to the jailer through the great earthquake. And he can use things in your life. There might be an earthquake, if I may call it, in your life. Something that happens in your life which will bring you up short and make you think about what would happen to you if you died today. Because there's only two destinies for you. You're either saved or you're lost. If you're saved, it means that you've accepted the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. It means you've accepted that you're a sinner, that you have no place before God as such, that you receive God's own gift in Jesus, the one who came to die for your sins. Or else, if you've rejected the gospel, what has God got for you? Could he give more than his only begotten son? He'd given all that he had for sinners. We're told in Romans, if being enemies we've been reconciled to God through the death of his son. Do you think of yourself as an enemy of God? Probably you don't. But that is how somebody who rejects the gospel is regarded by God as an enemy, or at least that is how he is naturally an enemy against God, because he's going against God. But yet God has given Jesus to die even for his enemies. What a God of love we have. He died for you. You might not regard yourself as very bad. You might think that there are those who are far worse than you, and that's quite probably true. But we're told that before God there is no difference. No difference. All have sinned. Every single one of us is a sinner. And we come short of the glory of God. It's quite a standard, isn't it? The glory of God. Not the glory of man. I think this man, perhaps in Luke 12, was interested in his own glory. You know, the gospel speaks of the glory of God. God has been glorified in Jesus. Jesus said when he was here on this earth, I have glorified thee on the earth. That was the glory of God seen in Jesus when he was here on earth. But he was the one who did always the will of God. And yet, his one life, if I may speak of it like that, was to end at the cross. We're told that the wages of sin is death. But Jesus did not sin. Death was not wages for him for his sin. That the death for Jesus was out of love for sinners such as you and such as me. Mm. He laid down his life. No one took his life from him. He said that to his disciples. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. And he laid down his life out of love for poor sinners like us. Mm. Poor sinners like this man that were read of in Luke 12, who was not rich towards God. Yet God gave him an opportunity to think. He told him when he was going to die, this night. He probably had just a few hours to think about it. What if you were to die tonight? You might have a little bit of time to think about where you would spend eternity. Where I read in chapter 2, we have a very different man. He is one I think that you could describe of as being rich toward God. He was a Jew. Brought up in that time when the Jews were God's chosen people. And there was not the same gospel that we preach now. Yet we have these examples of persons given to us in the Bible. And you think this man particularly being presented to us in the gospel. The man who had been given a particular promise by God. The same God who said to one man, fool, as one who took delight in Simeon, this certain man in Jerusalem, because it said of him that he was just and pious and awaiting the consolation of Israel. What a wonderful promise he had, the consolation of Israel. Well, the consolation of Israel is seen in Jesus. Mm. Paul said, didn't he, at the end of the Acts, that it's on account of the hope of Israel that he was bound with a chain. He was another one who had been awaiting the consolation of Israel. That a lot of the nation of the Jews had not recognized Jesus as the one whom God was sending as their Saviour. But this man had this definite communication. And I find it extraordinary because if a Jew had been calculating things for the coming of the Messiah, the consolation of Israel, because that's what's meant here, he would have been calculating about 30 years ahead of this. 30 years further, because the 69th week of Daniel ended when the Lord was about 30 years old. Mm. So this was 30 years before what prophecy would tell a Jew was the time for the Lord to appear. You think of the faith of this man. You think how pleased God was with this man that he gave him this communication that he would not die until he had seen that one who was the Christ, the anointed one, the one in whom God found his delight. And there he saw this baby just a few weeks old. And he recognized him. How close he was to God, wasn't he? That he recognized that this was the consolation of Israel, the hope of Israel, in that baby that was brought into the temple, purified according to the laws of the Jews. That it says he came in the spirit into the temple. And as the parents brought in the child Jesus, that they might do for him according to the law, he received him into his arms. What a wonderful opportunity. That he had the opportunity to come into the temple and to receive Jesus into his arms. And he did it. He only had one opportunity and he took it. You know, in the gospel, you might only have one opportunity to receive Jesus. So even as your saviour, would you take it? This man recognised it and he says, Lord, now thou lettest thy bondman go, according to thy word, in peace. Go in peace. He was happy then to die, because he'd seen that one who was to be the salvation for Israel, and indeed the salvation for all, ready to go. I don't think that man in chapter 12 was ready to go. Oh, he thought he had years, but this man was ready to go. So far as he was concerned, the work of God was complete in him. He's awaiting the resurrection. He's amongst many who are awaiting the assembling shout of the Lord. You're going to be with him when the Lord comes. Could you say that yourself? Are you ready to go? Would you be ready to die tonight? Would you be ready indeed for the coming of the Lord if he were to come tonight? This man was. He says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What a wonderful moment it was for him. He saw Jesus literally. Well, Jesus is now in heaven, isn't he? But there is a sight of him. Would you say that your eyes have seen God's salvation? Jesus, the one who came as a saviour for sinners. We're told in one scripture that God is not far from any one of us. But you think how near God came in Jesus, the one who came into this world as a man, the one who set aside his Godhead glory. He came in here as a man. He was obedient even unto death, and at the death of the cross. He took upon himself everything that we deserved as sinners in order that we should be saved. Could you say tonight that you've seen God's salvation? It's there. I'd speak to you about Jesus tonight as God's salvation. And he's requiring only that you should repent towards him and put your faith in the Lord Jesus. That's all he's requiring. The wages of sin is death. Yes, that's what we deserve. But Jesus took upon himself the death that we deserve in order that we should have eternal life. Whosoever believes on the Lord Jesus can have eternal life. That is the expression of God's love for the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that includes you. He so loved you that he gave Jesus to die for your sins. And he's just speaking to you tonight that you might just accept him at his word and tell God that you are wrong and he is right. And accept his love in giving Jesus to die for your sins. I read in the Epistle to the Hebrews, because it speaks here of the portion of men. And this is a very different outlook on things. This is not one life. This is one death. It is the portion of men once to die. Not once to live, but once to die. That's the portion of sinners. Because the wages of sin is death. That's the penalty for your sins, naturally, is death. And it is appointed, it's the portion of men. All men want to die as sinners. And after death, the judgment. And that is very real for those who do not know the Lord Jesus as Saviour. Death as itself is not the end. Some people like to think that everything comes to an end when they die. I had a teacher like that at school. He told us quite definitely that she hoped that death was the end. we're told here after this judgment. Would you be raised in your sins? Because there is to be a resurrection. All are going to be saved. All are going to be raised. We're told in Romans that Jesus was marked out Son of God in power by resurrection of the dead. That's absolute. Amen. That's all. Resurrection of the dead. Resurrection of just and resurrection of unjust. He's marked out Son of God in power by resurrection of the dead. And he has the right over those who are dead. It's his voice which is going to be heard by those who have believed in him. When the dead will be raised. The dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible. You're going to be amongst those. It's very simple. God's requirement is simple, and that is repentance towards him and faith towards Jesus the Saviour. So you probably noticed I put the stress on the word once when I read this passage. Once in the consummation of the ages. In other words, all through time, and probably even before what we think of as time, as recorded here in Scripture, the consummation of the ages. He has been manifested. In other words, Jesus came into this world, manifested. He appeared in this world for the putting away of sin by his sacrifice. What an almighty action that was, wasn't it? Him who knew not sin, he was made sin for us in order that we should be God's righteousness in him. He has put away sin by his sacrifice. He's not exactly putting away sins, but he's had to do with the whole question of sin before God. Everything which is obnoxious to him has been put out of sight completely, putting away sin by his sacrifice. And if you've put your faith in the Lord Jesus, then sin cannot be attached to you at all. You've accepted Jesus as the one who has put this away by his sacrifice. It was necessary that the blood should be shed in order that we should be saved. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. We're told that definitely in Scripture. Because the blood is evidence that death has come in. You can't put the blood back into a body, can you, and bring it back to life. Now, the blood has flowed out of the body. That's a dead body, and you can do nothing about it. And, you know, Jesus took upon himself the iniquity of us all. His blood was shed in order that we should be saved. Putting away of sin by sacrifice. And then we get this contrast in verses 27 and 28. For as much as it is the portion of men once to die. Once to die. And after this judgment. Well, I spoke about that just now. That is, men who are sinners. It is appointed to, it's their portion to die. Not to live, but to die. Because the wages of sin is death. And if you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, then you are still earning the wages of sin. It will be death. And it will be resurrection for judgment. How awful it would be if books were opened then and you were judged according to your works. You know, God is a righteous God. He's given everything in Jesus. He can't give more. And the gospel which is going out at this present time is not always going to go out. Will there be judgment for you after death? God doesn't want you to come into judgment. We're told that God desires that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And the blood of Jesus is precious enough before God for the salvation of all. The gospel goes out towards all. But it's only upon those who believe. Do you believe? Do you believe the gospel? If you do, then the blood of Jesus can cleanse from your sins. God can accept you just as you are, as a repentant sinner. All the worth that he requires is the worth of Christ. The one who's done everything according to his will perfectly. He was the one of whom he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I have found my delight." And it is through the worth of Jesus and through his sacrifice, his death for you, that he can accept you as a saved person. And you know that the resurrection, even if you undergo the portion of men once to die, if you are saved, then you won't be raised for judgment. Mm-hmm. You'll be raised for blessing, raised for glory, raised for the presence of God. And then it says, thus the Christ also. You think of Jesus as having taken his place amongst men, the Christ also. The one that, who is God is immortal. And yet he came in as a man that he should die. Thus the Christ also. Think of God coming in, taking his place amongst sinners. The Christ also, having been once offered. What a difference. Not once to die, but once offered. He was a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Once offered to bear the sins of many. The sins of many. Not the sins of all. He bore, has put away sin by his sacrifice. Yes, that whole question of rebellion against God has been dealt with by Jesus. But it's the sins of many, not the sins of all. It's only the sins of those who have accepted him as Saviour. Mm. I trust you are amongst those who are described here as the many. The sins of many. But then it says, he shall appear to those that look for him the second time. Not just once, but the second time. Mm. Because Jesus is the man whom God has set up for eternity. He's the one who he's going to bring into this world in glory. He came in the first time. Simeon that we read of in Luke 2, he accepted him the first time he came in. His eyes had seen God's salvation. You know, Jesus was rejected. We're told that he came to his own, and his own received him not. But it says, as many as received him, to them gave he the right to be children of God. Mm. As many as received him. Well, that was when he came in to this earth the first time. And there were those, mainly Jews, who received him. They received him as the Messiah, the Christ. So thus, the Christ also. Then it says, he shall appear to those that look for him the second time without sin. That is, that he's had to deal with, he's dealt with sin completely. The first time he came in, he went to the cross and everything was dealt with. Everything to do with our sin and to do with our sins was dealt with on the cross. His burial was necessary in order that the whole order of man that sinned, the sin there, the sin of the world, was should be put out of sight. God has had to cover it. He can't forgive. He can't forgive sin. He can't forgive the rebellion that had come in. But he can forgive sinners. He can forgive your sins. He can forgive those things which you do as a result of being born in sinful flesh. Yes, he doesn't hold that against you. Which is why he gave Jesus to die for your sins. And he's going to come the second time. Mm. You expecting the coming of Jesus? I am. This world's not going to go on indefinitely as it is. You know, God, men have all sorts of plans, don't they? You think of the general election coming up shortly, and people have many plans. I'm sure there are many candidates that have all sorts of ideas that they tell people what they're going to do. But what's that going to come to? Well, some people have short memories, don't they? But you know, God doesn't have a short memory. Mm. No, he's got his plan. And his plan is in Jesus, the one whom he gave to be a sacrifice for your sins. He's the one who's going to be brought in again the second time. The second time to salvation. That's not the salvation of your souls. That is from when you accept the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. You're saved for time and for eternity. But this, I think, is the full enjoyment of our salvation. When we're with Jesus. He's going to come, those that look for him the second time. He's going to come without sin. That is, as having dealt with that whole matter of sin the first time he came. He's coming without sin for salvation. Well, are you looking for that? Are you looking for him the second time? I am. It could be today. That man in Luke 12, he was told that night he would die. Might be that this night you would die. It might equally be today that the Lord Jesus comes. Mm. If you're looking for him the second time, well, you'll be saved. You have the knowledge of your salvation now. But what it will be to be with Jesus, what true salvation will that be? We were speaking
earlier in our reading as to what is raised, what dies is corruptible, what is raised is incorruptible. What salvation that is, isn't it? To be with Jesus eternally in a body of glory like his. That's how much God loves you. That he's prepared to put everything to do with what you are naturally out of sight totally in order that you might be established in Christ, the one who's raised from the dead. He's been raised for our justification. In other words, God has shown his full satisfaction in the work of Christ in that he's been raised from the dead. Amen. So we know that we have full confidence in God that our sins have been put out of sight eternally. They've been forgiven. Nothing can ever bring those sins up against you again. Paul says to me, who shall bring an accusation against God's elect? That is, those who are saved. It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? I'm sure there's many things that I could be condemned for. And maybe you could look into your own heart and think of things that you could be condemned for. But you know, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, there is no condemnation. There's no greater than God, is there? And if God isn't condemning you, who can? You can go out of this room as knowing there's no condemnation. No reproach. No condemnation, it says in him. Does he hold for thee? Grace has met the claims of justice righteously. Well, I just read in Colossians, because I hope that this is the desire of everyone in this room. Colossians 3 verse 4. When the Christ is manifested, who is our life? Can you say, is your life? Not years that you planned for, not your life, not so your natural life, according to your own thoughts, but have you accepted Jesus as your Saviour? If so, he is your life. When he is manifested, who is our life, then shall ye also be manifested with him in glory. Because Jesus is going to come again into this world. He's going to come, firstly, to take those who believe on him to be with himself. But then we're going to be manifested with him in glory. In other words, those who believe on him as a Saviour are going to come back with him. When he comes in as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then all those who have been raised at the first resurrection are going to come with him to reign. We'll be manifested with him. We will appear with him in glory. What a wonderful answer that is to God for all that came into the first order of man. All that has come in through sin. All that is unglorious. That we're going to be manifested with Jesus in glory. What a triumph for God, isn't it? In resurrection, and then in his coming again, and in those who belong to him, who are going to be with him in glory. May God bless them.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.